मादा अविष्टा
कद्रावेयस्
तु कालिया कदार्थे कृत्या गरुदं स्वायं तं भुभुजे बालिं विषवीर्या मदाविष्टा कद्रवेयस्तु कालिया कदर्थी कृत्य गरुदं स्वयं तां बुभुजे बलिं विषवीर्या मदाविष्टा कद्रवेयस्तु कालिया कदर्थी कृत्य गरुदं स्वयं तं बुभुजे बलिं विषवीर्या मदाविष्टा कद्रवेयस्तु कालिया कदर्थी कृत्य गरुदं स्वयं तं बुभुजे बलिं
because of his poison,
Virya,
and his strength,
Mada,
in intoxication,
Avishta,
absorbed,
Kadraveya,
the son of Kadru.
Tu,
on the other hand,
Kaliya,
Kaliya.
Kadarthi,
Kritya,
disregarding.
Garudam,
Garuda.
Swayam,
himself.
Tam,
that.
Bubuje,
ate.
Balim,
the offering.
Translation. Although all the other serpents were dutifully making offerings to Garuda, one serpent, the arrogant Kaliya, son of Kadru, would eat all these offerings before Garuda could claim them. Thus Kaliya directly defied the carrier of Lord Vishnu. I will read a few more verses till the substantial purport. I'll just read English. O King, the greatly powerful Garuda, who is very dear to the Supreme Lord, became angry when he heard of this. Desiring to kill Kaliya, he rushed toward the serpent with tremendous speed. Purport. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that the word Mahavega indicates that the great speed of Garuda cannot be checked by anyone. Text number 6. As Garuda swiftly fell upon him, Kaliya, who had the weapon of poison, raised his numerous heads to counterattack. Following his ferocious tongues and expanding his horrible eyes, Kali then bit Garuda with the weapons of his fangs. Full quote. The Acharyas explained that Kali used his weapon of poison at a distance by spitting venom upon his enemy, and at a short range by biting him with his terrible fangs. Text number 7. The angry son of Taksha moved with overwhelming speed in repelling Kali's attack. That terribly powerful carrier of Lord Madhusudana struck the son of Kadru with his left wing, which shone like gold. Text 8. Beaten by Garuda's wing, Kali was extremely distraught. And thus he took shelter of the lake adjoining the river Yamuna. Garuda could not enter this lake. Indeed, he could not even approach it. Text number 9. In that very lake, Garuda had once desired to eat a fish, fish being, after all, his normal food. Although forbidden by the sage Shobari, who was meditating there within the water, Garuda took courage and, feeling hungry, seized the fish. Shukadeva Goswami is now explaining why Garuda could not approach the lake in the Yamuna River. It is the nature of birds to eat fish, and thus, by the arrangement of the Lord, the great bird Garuda does not commit any offense by nourishing himself with fish. On the other hand, so Varimunis, forbidding a much greater personality to eat his normal food, did not constitute an offense. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, so Vari committed two offenses. First, he dared to give an order to a supremely exalted soul like Garuda. And second, he obstructed Garuda from satisfying his desire. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Again, the first verse. Vishadirya madavishtah kadraveyastu kaliyah kadarthi kritya garudam svayam tam bubujay balim. Although all the other serpents were dutifully making offerings to Garuda, one serpent, the arrogant Kali, son of Kadru, would eat all these offerings before Garuda could claim them. Thus Kali directly defied the carrier of Lord Vishnu. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Sitarini Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. So this particular story of Srimad Bhagavatam explains was explained in the report, the power of the offense. Basically, the lesson from this story, very important for all of us, is that when we commit offense, when we commit aparada, then the material desires become so strong that we are not able to control them anymore. The story here is that Shobari Muni, great sage in Muni, great ascetic, was meditating under the water. So much was his power of meditation and so much of his desire to attain liberation that he was able to control himself for many, many years, for thousands of years. Actually, when you go to Vrindavan on the Parikram road, when you reach the old bed of Yamuna, and then if you take to the right, then it's Parikram road. But if you take little to the left, there is a village where Shobari Muni was meditating. This is exactly the place which is still there, which is still filled with his energy. So he was sitting under the water for many, many years. But then we know the story from the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He saw just little fishes, you know, playfully engaged in sexual intercourse. And then she thought, what am I doing here under the water? I'm wasting my life. There are much more interesting things to do in this world. So he rose from the water, went to the palace of King Mandata and married his 50 daughters altogether, because the 50 daughters were so enamored by this youthful Muni who used all his strengths and all his austerities which he accumulated during these all years just to become a, you know, lustful living entity. And he wasted all this in his so-called family life with 50 wives, fulfilling all their desires, serving them like a dog. So, and here is the explanation that this all happened to him because of the offense. Because of the offense, he who could control his breathing, he who could control all his desires for a long time, couldn't do it anymore. He was overwhelmed by these desires. And the same thing is with Kaliya. And so many stories are there in Srimad Bhagavatam, and so many stories are there around us. When we see when somebody is committing offense, then the first effect of his offense is that material desires become so strong he cannot control them. He cannot really do anything. Even though before that he was controlling his desires, before that he could have been engaging in some austerities and so on and so forth, but the power of offense within our psyche is so great, then even unwillingly we start committing sinful activities again and again and again. So it is being dealt with great elaboration or with in great details by Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbha. In his Bhakti Sandarbha, he basically deals with this subject at a great length. He explains how the offenses actually is the main impediment to our spiritual progress. He explains the difference between the sinful activities and the offenses. He says, sins is not so bad. There are so many passages in Vedic literature which says that if you commit sinful activities, but if you are not offensive, then all these sins are being burnt away by even little spiritual activity which you do, like a heap of cotton, immediately. It is said if you commit sinful activities, and the definition of sin is given there in Bhaktisandarbha. Jiva Goswami says that the sin is that it's just the activity which you perform by your mind or the activity which you perform by your body for the sake of enjoying your mind or your body. This is the sin. But aparad or offense is much a deeper or a much graver crime on the path of bhakti, because aparad touches your heart. Aparat touches the soul. Aparat is the attitude when you place yourself higher than Vaishnavas, God, your spiritual master, or Holy Dham. It is specifically says that aparat is an attitude of arrogance or attitude of neglect towards those vehicles of spiritual energy which are still there in this material world. Because in this material world there are certain agencies of the spiritual world, like the holy name, the spiritual master, Archavigraha, who comes to us to give us the opportunity to serve, and the holy dham. Basically this is four main agencies or the main manifestation of the spiritual energy, the main means of salvation. And if we take an offensive attitude towards those agencies, this is the offense, this is aparat, and the result of this offense is that it really perverts our mind. It really perverts the whole, you know, the heart is being changed because of these offenses. we may have a very sincere desire to achieve the Lord. We may have a very sincere desire to obtain the love of God. But if we commit offenses, then viparita buddhi take place. Viparita buddhi or viparyaya buddhi means the perverted intelligence. The intelligence becomes perverted and you act contrary to these desires. This is the main result or the main effect of the offenses. And therefore offenses are so powerful, and therefore the offenses we should avoid by all means. Therefore the scriptures say again and again and again that we should avoid offenses. Jiva Goswami, he explains, first of all, there is a very deep meaning in this word, aparadha, etymological meaning from Sanskrit. The verbal root, arad, means to satisfy. And aparad means basically to act contrary to the satisfaction. Sometimes we underestimate aparada as such. We think that aparada is something really gross. But aparada means to act contrary to the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, of Spiritual Master, of the Holy Name, to act something, to act in a contrary way. And then there is, again, another very important etymological explanation of this word aparada. I believe it's from Vishwakosh or from other etymological dictionary, Sanskrit dictionary, but it is said apagata radho yusmat iti aparadha, which means that apagata radha, here radha means of course Shrimati Radharani, and radha means also love, because Shrimati Radharani is the manifestation of love, priti. Is the manifestation of this soft feeling within the heart. And the very important explanation of this word aparada here means apagata radha. It means that the action which drives away this feeling of love from your heart. If you commit aparada, this is the first effect within your heart, is that love which should be there within the heart. Because actually our heart is the sitting place for love. It's given by us to us by the Lord for love. This feeling is very natural. This feeling of love is very natural within the heart. But if the person commits aparada, apagata radha, it goes away from the heart. The heart becomes stone-like. The heart becomes like a piece of stone. And the person is depriving himself of this, the most sublime and glorious feeling within the heart. And therefore we see that people who commit aparadas, they become stone-hearted. They become very cruel. And after this aparadas, they commit aparada after aparada after aparada. Offense after offense after offense. This is the result of aparada. And therefore, Jiva Goswami, he explains that aparada is the cause why, despite of doing all the spiritual practices which are glorified throughout Vedic literature, we don't have the effect of these spiritual activities. In different Vedic scriptures there are so many glorifications, and sometimes we even think that this is exaggeration. And one of the most important effects of the spiritual activities like chanting of the Holy Name is that it has to purify our heart from all the sinful desires. Jiva Goswami, he cites an example, I believe from Vishnu Purana, or from Panga Purana, from one of the Puranas. This is a very funny example. The story goes like this, that there was a Rakshasa, a man-eating Rakshasa. He was a cruel, he was a sinful demon. And once he attacked a Brahmana. And the Brahmana was there. And, you know, this huge guy is running to eat him. So the Brahmana, he became very fearful. And the Brahmana, he, to protect himself, he chanted the holy name. He chanted the name of Krishna with a great feeling, because in such situation you cannot help but chant the holy name with the feeling. So, and when this sound of the holy name touched the ears of this huge demon Rakshasa, demon, he became powerless. He said, I don't have any more desire within my heart to eat you. What kind of mantra did you pronounce? This mantra, the effect of this mantra is so powerful that this desire is gone. Just second before, I was all eager to eat you up, but now I don't want it anymore. So, and Jiva Goswami explains that this is, see, look, this is the effect. This is how it should be. The power of the holy name is so great that when it touches even the ears, if it's pronounced properly, with a pure heart, then all the sinful desires are driven away just by the sound of the holy name. But then Jiva Goswami says, you know, but look, so many practitioners are there, so many sadhakas are there who are chanting the holy name and still sinful desires are there. Why? And the explanation is only one, aparada. He says, and he quotes Vedanta Sutra. In one of the sutras in Vedanta Sutra, Badarayana Rishi or Vyasadev, he says, asakrit, what is it? Avritiha sakrit upadeshat. He said that the explanation why in the scriptures, despite the fact that the holy name is so powerful, still it is said that you should chant the holy name again and again and again. The explanation to this is that because you don't chant it properly. Otherwise, just once to pronounce the holy name is enough. But still it is said in the scriptures, you should repeat it. Repeat it again and again and again. Because again, even though you're committing the offenses against the holy name, while chanting repeatedly, there is a hope. But still, Jiva Goswami goes on to explain or to warn that we should avoid offenses as much as possible because of their powerful effect within our heart. And he gives, or he lists the five results of the offensive chanting. He says, if you chant with offenses, then you can see that you are chanting offensively because of the results being produced by this offensive chanting. And he lists these offenses, and then he gives an examples and explains these effects of the offensive chanting. He gives examples from Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata and other scriptures to illustrate this fact. He says, offensive chanting, the first result of offensive chanting is kautilyam, means hypocrisy. The first result of the offensive chanting is that your heart becomes crooked. The crookedness within the heart is the first psychological effect of the offensive chanting, kautilyam. And he gives an example of this, Duryodhana. He says, look at Duryodhana. Duryodhana, he could, good fortune of seeing Krishna himself. He was just in front of Krishna. Moreover, he wanted to serve the Lord. And this is the most amazing thing, because when Lord Krishna came to Hastinapur to talk with Duryodhana, Duryodhana made elaborate arrangements to receive the Lord. He made the best feast ever. You know, he employed the best cooks, he made the beautiful palace, to put a red carpet in front of the palace, you know, please welcome dear Lord Krishna. And then, you know, he made a puja. He seated the Lord on a throne and started making puja. And then when the time came and the Lord wanted to go away, Duryodhana said, no, there is a great feast offered for you. And Krishna said, no, I don't want your feast. He said, how come? You have to eat. We cooked it for you. Sometimes we also think, we do it for you, Krishna. But Krishna is not obliged. to accept our offerings. And the example of this is Duryodhana. Duryodhana says, please, you have to take this feast. We were cooking it for you specifically, you know. It's such a nice feast. And Krishna says, no, no, I'm not obliged to do it. I'm going to eat banana peels in the house of Vidura. It's much more tasty for me. Because he says, you know, you can only eat of two reasons. There are only two reasons why people eat. First of all is hunger. And Krishna says, I'm not hungry. And second of all is the love of somebody who is offering you the feast. And you don't like me, therefore I'm not taking your food. You're not doing it because of love. So, and Jiva Goswami says, this kautilyam or crookedness is exemplified by Duryodhana, because look at Duryodhana. He is seemingly, outwardly, he is serving the Lord. Outwardly, he is doing all this great, grandiose arrangements for the Lord. But within the heart, he hates the Lord and the devotees. And specifically, Krishna says in this episode in Mahabharata, he says that I am not accepting any service from you because you hate my devotees. Because you offended my devotees, Pandavas, therefore no way for you to serve me. Your service will not be accepted. So this is the first example of aparada, of this offensive mentality. It becomes, you still continue so-called serving or service to the Lord, but actually within the heart, you're very offensive towards the Lord and towards the devotees. This is kautilyam. And then Jiva Goswami says that the next offense, or the next effect, the next result of the offensive chanting of the holy name is ashrada. And this is perhaps the most amazing result of this offensive chanting, because ashrada means facelessness. Ashrada means when you lose the faith. And he again quotes or cites the example of Duryodhana. He explains what ashrada means. And while hearing about this, we really have to carefully examine our heart. Because all these effects are there within our heart as well. We can see them. Some kind of crookedness or some kind of duplicity is there within the heart when we serve outwardly, but inwardly we don't really want to serve. But the next result, facelessness, is even more interesting, because Jiva Goswami explains that facelessness or ashrada means that if you chant offensively, then you hear the description of the glory of the Lord. Or even you see the glory of the Lord, the manifestation of the glory of the Lord, and you don't believe it. You don't really feel like believing it. Or he says, ashrada may manifest in two different ways. He says, one is vishvasa bhav, which means that you don't have the trust, you don't have the faith. You hear the description of glory of the Lord from Srimad Bhagavatam or from other scriptures, and you kind of doubt it. Is he that great? You know, is it really so? Is it really true? And then he says the next manifestation of this ashrada of facelessness is that you hear the glory of the Lord, or somebody glorifies the Lord, or you see the manifestation of the glory of the Lord. And the opposite feeling, viparaya bhavana, enters your heart. Instead of being amazed, overwhelmed, instead of being elated, overjoyed by seeing these glories, by hearing these glories, you feel like, you know, so what? You know? Yeah, right. Of course. Yeah. We heard this so many times. We heard this. So this is, he said, this is the definition according to Jiva Goswami of ashrada, of this facelessness. And we definitely, at least I can very honestly confess to all of you that sometimes I do have this kind of psychological reaction when I hear some glorification of the Lord. And Jiva Goswami, he again cites the example of Duryodhana when Lord Krishna showed his universal form to Duryodhana. His glory in a full bloom, you know, the glory of the Lord was there in front of everyone. And everyone in the assembly was kind of overwhelmed by this manifestation. Everyone but Duryodhana. Duryodhana said, oh, so what? You know, who cares? Yeah, right, universal form, okay, we've seen it, no problem. You know, just a trick. He is just a tricker, you know, we have seen it, you know, right. So, again, Jiva Goswami says, this is the second result, or the second manifestation of this offensive spiritual practices, ashrada. And then, the third one, there are only five, please bear with me. It's not so long to go. So, the third one is when somebody is practicing spiritual life with offenses, then the result, the psychological effect of this offensive spiritual life or spiritual practices, sadhana, is that you become attached to the things which are detrimental to your spiritual practice. And of course, the most striking example in the scriptures is Bharata Maharaj, who left, Jiva Goswami says, look at Bharata Maharaj. He left his beautiful wife. He left his obedient, intelligent son. He left his palace. He left his kingdom as if it was a stool. He left everything. He didn't even turn around to look at them, to go to the forest, to engage in the spiritual practices. So much was his power of renunciation. Actually, Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu cites this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam where the description of Maharaja Bharata leaving his palace is given as an example of virakti. Virakti is one of the manifestations of bhava, the highest stage, or one of the most elevated stages of spiritual development. So virakti, complete detachment, was definitely there within the heart of Maharaja Bharata. So what happened to him? He became attached to a deer. You know, he left his wife. Why do you leave your wife to get attached to a deer? You know, why do you leave your beautiful son, your kingdom, everything, and still you get attached to deer, and deer stands between you and God, and deer stands between you and the ultimate goal of your life. And he became so helplessly, so ridiculously attached to the deer that wherever he would look, he would see this deer. He would look in the moon and he would see the deer in the moon. He really became totally, completely, passionately in love with this deer. And Jiva Goswami says, this is the effect of aparada. And he cites the explanation from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where the story is described, and there it is said that some past activity, some past karma must have been which resulted in this attachment. It's not just by chance. It's not just because the deer happened to be there, you know. Such a great Muni, he became so helplessly in love, fell in love with this deer, so ridiculously fell in love with this deer, because of some offenses in the past. And this is the analysis which Jiva Goswami gives. And of course, another example of this in Srimad Bhagavatam is Indradyumna Maharaj. Not our Indradyumna Maharaj. Indradyumna Maharaj from the past, who just jokingly offended some sage by swimming in the... Oh no, anyway, that was another one. Anyways, so... the story goes like this, that Indradyumna Maharaj was in his palace. And a devotee came to his palace. Muni sage came to his palace. And Indradyumna Maharaj, he was engaged in the meditation. He was serving the Lord within his mind. And of course, he wanted to show the sage how great devotee he is. And he didn't care about this devotee. The devotee showed up in front of his door and he was sitting there just doing his manasa seva. And because of this, he became
Gajendra, the elephant, because of this offense to a devotee of the Lord, because he disregarded the devotee. Because it is said also in Skanda Purana, there is a famous verse which says that there are six kinds of offenses against the devotees of the Lord, which leads to fall down. And the first offense, of course, if you kill the devotee of the Lord, but the last offense is if you don't smile when you see the devotee of the Lord. And all six are listed there. If you see a devotee of the Lord who is so rare, and if you don't smile, you know, it's specifically said that there is no harsh. Harsha means a big smile on your face. if there is no joy within your heart, this is an offense. And in Skanda Purana it is said, this is the six causes of fall down. So this Maharaja Indradyumna, he didn't smile when because he was so absorbed, he was so, you know, so serious in his devotional service. So therefore he became Gajendra the elephant. And this Gajendra the elephant, he had wife, he had children, he had so many other engagements, you know, he became so helplessly attached to all this, you know. He was an elevated devotee. He was Maharaja Indradyumna. And then he became attached to she-elephants. You know, so many she-elephants. This is again, this is the hilarious explanation of how lowly the state of consciousness will become if you are offensive, if you are not careful, if you are not guarding against the offenses. So this is the third result of our offenses, is that we become attached to the things which are detrimental to spiritual practices. And we cannot control ourselves. That's the most amazing thing, is that, you know, sometimes we think, no, I'm cool, you know, I'm very strong in my devotional practices. Forget it. All these passions will overwhelm you, you know. This passion towards the deer totally overwhelmed Maharaja Bharata. He couldn't do anything about it. And then he says that the fourth result of the offenses is bhakti shaithilyam. Bhakti, of course, is the spiritual sadhana, practice of our bhakti yoga. And shaithilyam means laziness. And again, Jiva Goswami explains in a very genius and brilliant way what it means, laziness, the lack of enthusiasm. Because initially, when we come to devotional service, when the faith, Shraddha, arouses in our heart, we are very enthusiastic. The new light is there within our life, the new perspective, the new ways. But then he says, bhakti shaithilyam, as a result of our paradas, is the absorption in our own happiness and our own sufferings. That's what comes. When you first come to Krishna consciousness, initially you have this great enthusiasm, you know, the great wave of enthusiasm. You have the new light in your life. You know the goal, you know the finally, the boring life becomes meaningful. And because of this, there is so much enthusiasm. But then this enthusiasm vanishes. And Jiva Goswami explains why it vanishes. It vanishes only because of our offenses. And as a result of this, we again become absorbed in our petty happiness and petty sufferings. Jiva Goswami, he cites, by explaining this, this effect, he says that devotees, they are so, you know, they're so overwhelmed by this feeling of bhakti that they're not even afraid of death. They cannot care less about death. They cannot care less about their own sufferings because they're not absorbed in themselves. This power of bhakti is so high that it elevates their consciousness high up over their bodies. They don't really care. They don't care, you know, the little happiness and little sufferings which are there in the body. It's not so much. This is the great blessings of bhakti. You don't have to suffer anymore with the sufferings of your body. And you don't have to be happy with the happiness of your body, which is ridiculous, ultimately. This is such a great effect of real bhakti. But then it vanishes. why Bhakti Shaithilyam comes? Why Bhakti Shaithilyam comes? Why laziness comes? Why lack of enthusiasm comes? Again, because of our inattentiveness in our devotional service, because we don't guard against the offenses. And ultimately, and again, this is perhaps the most amazing result of this offensive sadhana, offensive spiritual practices, is that you become proud of your spiritual practices. He specifically says, Jiva Goswami specifically, while describing this result of offenses, he says, you become proud by your achievements in bhakti and other achievements. You know, and we have seen this. You know, ISKCON, we don't need to quote shastras to illustrate this particular point. When somebody is offensive in his devotional service, he becomes a big acharya, great, 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 great somebody, and then he falls down. of course, Jiva Goswami, he explains about this effect at great length. He gives so much attention to this particular effect of offensive devotional service. He says that because of the pride which comes to your heart, and the pride comes to your heart inevitably if you are offensive. If you are execute devotional service properly, then the proper result of the devotional service is humility. The humility is a very natural feeling which comes to your heart. You don't have to really, you know, imitate being humble. You know, it just naturally comes. If you chant the holy name properly, if you understand the glory of the Lord, how great He is and how small and insignificant and stupid you are, you become very humble. It's a natural effect. But if you don't do it properly, then you become puffed up. You become so big in your own eyes, in your own mind, that you know, you're probably bigger than the Lord Himself. Gopal Krishna Maharaj told me an interesting story, and this is, of course, you know, from our Purana, from ISKCON Purana. Somebody should write this Purana about one of the great acharyas of the past, recent past. And Gopal Krishna Maharaj was there, and he was preaching there in this temple. And when he was leaving this place, the acharya at that time, he approached him and he whispered in his ear, "Gopal, don't think that a disciple cannot be bigger than his spiritual master." And he meant, of course, Srila Prabhupada. And that's the mentality which comes because of the offenses. Instead of remaining the servant of the Lord, servant of your spiritual master, you become greater than your spiritual master. you become the master of your spiritual master. You become, and ultimately you become the master of the Lord, of the whole universe, or whatever. So, and again, this is the result of the offenses. This pride, uncontrollable pride, natural pride, comes to your heart and you become proud, and you will always find the reason to become proud. There is no doubt about it. It's not difficult, you know. So many reasons, so many achievements are there. I did this and I did this. We don't do anything. Kartahamiti manyate ahankara vimudatma. You know, so Krishna says, you are a great fool who thinks that you are doing. Everything is being done by the Lord. Everything is being done by the mercy of your spiritual master. But when you become offensive, you again become, enter into this mode, you know, kartahamiti manyate, that's me. This is my achievement. This is because of my intelligence, my strength, my power, my this, my that, and so on and so forth. So, and of course, Jiva Goswami, he gives an example of daksha to illustrate this and to illustrate the danger of this pride which comes as a result of offense. He says, when the pride comes, the pride is not finished within one life. The pride breeds pride. The pride breeds more offenses. And he gives an example of daksha. And daksha, he offended Shiva. And as a result of this offense,
his head was cut off, and instead of his beautiful, handsome head was a beautiful head of the god, you know. And this is the, you know, this is a very appropriate punishment for somebody who is so much into sex life, all of a sudden to have a head of a god. It's a very great humiliation. And he was outwardly, he was apologetic, and he was kind of, you know, confessing and saying, I will not do this, please, please. And he was bleeding, you know, from his god mouth. But then what happened the next? The next life he again became Daksa. And he again offended Narada Muni. Because the pride continues many lifetimes. And the pride breeds new offenses and new offenses. And Jiva Goswami, he explains, explaining this story, that when Daksha was born again as Daksha, as the son of Prachetas, and when he offended Narada Muni, that Narada Muni wanted to save him. Narada Muni came to him because he was hoping that the association of a saint, of a saintly person, of a bhakta, will change the heart of Daksha. But when Daksha saw Narada Muni in front of his eyes, he became even more offensive. He started cursing him and cursing him. Narada Muni before, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur actually explains in Srimad Bhagavatam, and that the thinking of Narada Muni. Narada Muni thought, you know, I was the spiritual master of his grand-grandfather, Uttanapada. I was the spiritual master of his grandfather, Dhruva Maharaj. I was the spiritual master of Prachina Barhi. I was the spiritual master of his father's Prachetas. You know, I'm his family guru. I have to come and save this guy. You know, and here is the time to save him, because he was deprived of his sons. And usually when in this moment when somebody loses somebody who is very dear to him, he's very receptive to bhakti. So Narada Muni marches just in front of Daksha, hoping to save, to change his heart. But because of the pride, because his heart becomes so hard and so stone-like, and Daksha became so proud, he started cursing and cursing and cursing Narada Muni just in front of him. And Jiva Goswami says, look, this is the result of offensive chanting of the holy name or offensive spiritual practices. And this leads to fall down. This leads, you commit horrible things without even being able to control yourself. You know that it's bad, but still you do it because of the offenses. And therefore, Jiva Goswami concludes this section of Bhakti Sandarbha saying that this is the most important duty of every sadhaka, is to guard against these offenses. Is to really be very, very careful and not to allow oneself to commit these offenses against the devotees of the Lord, against the spiritual master, against the Lord himself, Archivigraha, against the holy name, against the holy Dhamma. You know, the reverential attitude should be instilled deeply within our heart. When we see these agencies of the spiritual world who are capable of saving us, who are the manifestation of Krishna's grace, this is Krishna's mercy concentrated, manifest in front of our eyes when he sends the holy Dhamma, holy name, spiritual master, devotees of the Lord, or his divine form in front of us. And therefore, the attitude which we should train ourselves in towards all these agencies of the spiritual world should be utmost reverence and respect. We have to understand that this is not just material sound, not just material form, not just material person in front of me, not just a piece of land somewhere in India, you know, God knows what is going on there, you know. We have to understand that this is agencies of the spiritual world.
which Krishna specifically sends to help us. And if we don't really understand that this is that our attitude should be of utmost reverence and respect towards all these things, we will be doomed. We will commit some offenses, and because of these offenses, all these effects of offenses will take place within our heart. Ashraddha, kautilyam, crookedness, faithlessness, attachment to the things which are detrimental to devotional service, bhakti-shaithilyam, laziness or lack of enthusiasm, kind of slackness in devotional service, and finally pride, great pride of our own achievements in devotional service. And ultimately it will lead to fall down, which is exemplified here by Sobhari Muni. Okay. Yes.
Just for my own information, is it, you presented these as a progression. Are they a progression, or they occur simultaneously, or some may appear, some may others not appear? I have a follow-up question, but I just wanted to ask that first.
Well, I was thinking about it. Jiva Goswami doesn't mention it as a progression. But it really may be considered as a progression. Jiva Goswami doesn't explain it as a progression. He says this is the effects, and he cites different examples from different scriptures to illustrate these points. But, you know, observing my own heart, I can see that there is a particular progression, or it could be particular progression in all these effects, that it could be like this, that you become little hypocritical in your devotional service, you lose your faith, you become attached to, you know, to TV again, and you know, you gave up all these TVs, now you're watching, you know, stupid videos, and then you get attached, you become totally, you know, senior devotee without any enthusiasm whatsoever, and then ultimately and finally you become very proud by your achievements. That's possible to see it like this as well, I believe.
And if you don't mind, excellent class.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's another thing. And this may be another class. I think there's a chance of you spending another night. So it's such a dangerous ground, and speaking for myself as someone who's prone to commit offenses, not that I'm walking away from this class hopeless at all, rather I'm taking it as, you know, shot across the bow, you know, so, you know, a warning. But inevitably one will commit offenses. Offenses are so powerful. Can you say a little something about the remedy or alternative or the rectification or the counterbalance, something?
Yeah, the remedy, and Jiva Goswami says about this, he explains about this, the remedy is remorse. The remedy is the remorseful attitude when you really, deep within your heart, feel that, you know, something is wrong with me. And by taking this very seriously, you're trying to rectify this by being remorseful, basically, by crying. He specifically says, he quotes one scripture, I don't remember it exactly which one. He says, if one cries with a remorseful heart after committing offenses, then offenses are washed away. The results of offenses are washed away, and the heart is being cleansed from these offenses. So that's the only remedy which Srila Jiva Goswami gives.
Well, there is hope. No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, it seems like a perpetual loop, because very characteristic of a conditioned life is that one's offensive.
Yeah.
So how do you get out of the loop?
Yeah, it's a vicious, it could be a vicious circle, but that's exactly what Jiva Goswami explains. He says there are certain agencies in this world, and even though you may be offensive, but
If you are remorseful, we are offensive. He quotes actually a verse from Aparada Bhanjana's Stotra. This is a section of Padma Puran, Aparada Bhanjana Stotra. Bhanjana means breaking away offenses. The Stotra, the glorification of this process of breaking the offenses. And it's particularly the section of Padma Puran where the 10 offenses against the holy name are listed and being explained. And he quotes another verse where he says that this offensive attitude is Pashandata. Pashandata, this verse is by the way quoted also by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives this verse. This Pashandata is a certain attitude, is a certain materialistic outlook. Basically, Pashandi, Srila Prabhupada very consistently translates this verse, Pashandi being materialist. And it means offensiveness, it means atheism. Pashandata, what actually, this is the cause which leads us to offenses. Pashandata is a materialistic outlook. When we see devotees of the Lord, the spiritual master, the form of the Lord, the holy name, the holy Dham, as something material. Because we have material vision, because we have material kind of understanding and material intelligence. So, how to break away from this vicious circle of offenses is basically to instill deeply within our understanding, within our buddhi, within our intelligence, that this is not material. That this is something, you know, and we can see in reality that this is not material. So many miracles are being created by the holy name, by the Vaishnavas of the Lord, by the spiritual master, within our lives. You know, we can see some really things which are not explainable from the strictly material point of view. So we have to drive away this attitude of pashandata, of materialism, of atheism from the heart, by understanding very deeply that there are certain real manifestations within this world of the spiritual energy. That God Himself can manifest and will manifest and chooses to manifest Himself through certain things in this world. And these things are listed. And we really have to understand that this is not, and therefore these warnings are there throughout the scriptures and in Srimad Bhagavatam as well. Navamanyata karhichit, you shouldn't look at your spiritual master as a, you should not envy the spiritual master as an ordinary being, because the Lord Himself who is acting through him within your life. You should not consider the holy name as a material sound. This is not a material sound. This is a sound of the holy name coming from the higher spheres of existence. And we can, you know, if we really understand this and if we read the scriptures, then we will develop the reverential attitude. But this requires some kind of work. Otherwise, if we just let it go, so to speak, if it just, you know, goes as it is, then inevitably we will commit offenses. We will, you know, follow the footsteps of the previous offenders. Yes.
Hi, Maharaj. This is a wonderful class.
Thank you.
Can you please summarize each argument in the Bhagavad Gita, a sentence or two? How
to summarize
those five, what we
did just to... Yeah, it's simple. One is the crookedness, when you outwardly perform the devotional service, but inwardly you are kind of neglectful towards the devotees or towards the Lord, or kind of, you know, have this attitude of, how you call it, contemptuous. And this is the Kautilyam, the first one. The second one is Ashrada. Ashrada, when you hear the glory of the Lord, but you don't really believe it. You either don't believe it, or the contrary feeling appears within your heart. you don't really, you know, open your heart towards this descriptions of the glory of the Lord. And the fourth one is the attachment to the things which are detrimental to devotional service. The third one, the fourth one is bhakti shaithilyam, when you become lazy or slack in your devotional practices. When you don't do it with the vigor, when you just do it, just, you know, Hare Krishna.
You faced it at all, Mara. Very well expressed.
Well, I have a great experience of this. I know what it means. And the fifth one is the pride. Pride of one's own achievement. Especially, specifically achievements, in so-called achievements in devotional service. And this is the fifth thing. Thank you.
I've heard on a number of occasions devotees say, I'm staying away from either the temple or the association because I have an offensive mentality. I don't want to commit offenses, so therefore I'm staying away. But it seems like it's just a trick of Maya to keep you from getting purified. There's no validity in saying, I should stay away from this.
How you can get rid of the offensive attitude unless you associate with devotees and learn how to be respectful and be humble and, you know. Of course, we're all offensive. There's no doubt about it. But the only remedy is to remain in the association of devotees. And you know, the association of devotees is a very powerful tool, you know. Sooner or later, you become very humble if you... if you stick to it, if you stay with the devotees. So it's a learning experience. It's sadhana. Sadhana means we learn by sometimes by hard ways, by committing some mistakes. But if we really value the spiritual practices and the spiritual goal, if we really want to attain the spiritual goal, then we will know what to do. We will remain in the association of devotees. That's for sure. This is not the solution. To stay away. The solution is to get rid of the offensive attitude. This is kind of backward thinking. I am offensive, therefore I stay away from the devotees. I'm offensive, therefore I have to get rid of my offensiveness. This is logical. Yeah, that's exactly what Jiva Goswami says, that the pride breeds more offenses and more offenses, and therefore this is the most dangerous effect of the offenses. It's really because when you become proud, you have to really kind of justify your own pride. And the way to justify your own pride is to offend others, to say that they're bad, and, you know, to pull them down. So this is how the mind, tricky mind, works. Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have a simple question. You know, sometimes as you were talking about like this offering of persona, like when you were going to want to do offer Krishna.
Well, if they do it with sincere hearts. Yeah. Prabhupada said, you know, when he took first devotees in India, they were going from home to home. Sometimes, once I heard this, I don't know if it's how bona fide the story is, that sometimes when Prabhupada ate some sabji with onion and forced all his disciples to eat this with onion. Because somebody...
Sorry, tell the story.
Yeah.
No onions in it. There are no onions in it.
Well, it doesn't mean that next time when somebody gives you meat. But still, we have to really, you know, respect their attitude and really, you know, respect their desire to feed you. And Prabhupada said, this is your devotional service, to eat in the homes of other people. Because this is, again, this is exchange of love. Ultimately, bhakti is all about love. And when you come to people, you know, this is an exchange. Exchange should take place. Whatever we do is just a means of exchanging love. You know, when we come to the temple, when we associate with devotees, it's just a means of our exchanging this nice feeling, which is called bhakti, which is love. Okay, thank you very, very much. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jaya.